Title of this message is Guarding Your Heart, and we're going to again begin looking. We're going to read verse 23 here to jumpstart, and then we'll pray. But let's read verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4. And so the Bible says here, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer now, and Lord, I do ask that you would just be with me now, Lord, as I open up your word, and Lord, I pray that as I do so, that you would just fill me with your Holy Spirit and that you would give me the words to speak, the clarity of thought and mind. And Lord, just I pray that all that is said and done will bring glory to you. And that, again, you would just convict hearts, Lord, even my own, and help us to make a decision here today in whatever area it is that you would have us to make a decision in. So, Lord, I just pray that you would use this message and that you would bless it this entirely through. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As I was preparing for this message here this evening, I Googled kind of this phrase, you know, what is the most secure, the most guarded places in the world? Just kind of, you know, wanted to kind of look at that as in preparation for this message. And while it seemed like there wasn't a complete agreement on what like the top 10 would be, there were some that I saw the majority in there. And so I wrote down those top 10 kind of that are within that list there of most secure, most guarded places in the world. And so I've got some pictures of each one of them. The first one I have here, and I think I kind of started around number 10 working down to number one, is the Cheyenne Mountain Complex. The Cheyenne Mountain Complex was at one point the command center for the North American Aerospace Defense Command and the U.S. Space Command missions. It is so well guarded that the tunnel is protected by solid granite and reinforced steel. And so, again, here is a very protected, very guarded place here in the U.S. It's there in Colorado in the Cheyenne Mountains there. And to get into it, it goes kind of, it's in the mountains. You have to go through a tunnel, which is, you have to pass through security, and it's all this, and it's a very guarded place. And then you got the big doors here, big safe kind of doors protecting, again, the information found here in the Cheyenne Mountain Complex. The next one I found was what is called the Haven Co. The Haven Co, I'm guessing is pronounced correct pronunciation there. It's a 120 by 50 foot anti-aircraft platform, 7 miles off of the British coast and 60 feet above the water in the North Sea. It was a self-contained, hyper-secure data fortress, and the only people who were ever allowed in were authorized personnel, investors, and members of the British royal family. It was closed down in 2008, but the secret of why really is still kept secret. Don't know why, but again, a very secure place. Again, you're not going to get here just your average person. You're not getting in. You're just, again, it's very secure, very protected, a guarded place. The next place I found was a place called the Greenbrier. This was built roughly 720 feet into the hillside under the Greenbrier, West Virginia wing. The Greenbrier is an astonishing 112,544 square feet in size, but underneath it lies what is the real secret. There is a 25-ton nuclear blast door underneath this building here, with tunnels behind which create a nuclear bunker that is filled with supplies for the members of the U.S. Congress to weather out any type of nuclear attack. And so a very interesting place here to kind of protect our Congress in case of nuclear attack. And so again, no one's going to get there other than those who would be authorized, obviously. Next one, this one is an interesting one on this list. It's the Bold Lane Car Park. It is a parking garage. How it made the top 10, I guess we'll find out here in a second. But again, a parking garage made the top 10 list of the most protected, most secured places in the world. So here it is. You won't have to worry much about car thieves when you leave your car parked here. This car park or parking garage in Derbyshire, England, is one of the safest places in the world. You can't get in unless you have a ticket indicating your exact parking spot. Then once your car is parked, it's protected by motion detectors and other alarms that will go off if someone messes with your car. If the alarm does go off, the people, the whole place goes into a lockdown mode. And it says, all of these, as well as many other security features, most of them undisclosed to the public, have kept this place incident-free for over a decade. And so, again, no car has been broken into, stolen, or anything for over a decade here at this parking garage. And so, very secure place. So if you're in England and you're worried about maybe someone taking your car, park here, you're safe, all right? So this, good thoughts there. Next one on our list is the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. Again, here's a bank here in the United States. It says roughly about 25% of the entire world's gold is said to be stored here. I guess there's a good reason to keep it secure and guarded, right? So again, the vault itself is 80 feet below street level. That's pretty amazing. 50 feet below sea level. It says, and also the perimeter of the building is guarded by well-trained marksmen. So don't go there, all right, with bad intentions. It will not end well for you. Next one. I like this one. Air Force One is on the list here. So the Air Force One project is designed to become a mobile White House for the U.S. president in case of any serious threat. And it says what makes the presidential urgency jet highly secure is that it does not need to land in order to refuel the fuel tank. Other than other interesting facts about Air Force One is the fact that all the equipment found aboard is coated with an electromagnetic pulse shield. It can fly through highly irradiated zones in case of nuclear attack, and it's able to jam radars, it can deploy heat-sinking missiles, and so forth. And so Air Force One is very protected, guarded. I know it's always accompanied with fighter jets as well. And so again, this is another one of those top in the 10 their list of highly protected, guarded places. Next one, kind of interesting, is the Mormon Church's secret vault. The Mormon Church's secret vault. Again, why? What are they hiding in here is my question. They don't want us to know. That's why it's in here, right? But these secret vaults, they contain genealogical and historical records for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The vault is excavated 600 feet into the north side of Little Cottonwood Canyon, located in Utah. Surprise. But not only are they heavily guarded, it says, but also it's rumored to be protected by temperature control as well as motion and heat sensors. So again, Mormon Church, there you go, proof that they're hiding stuff, right? So, all right, next one. You probably could have guessed this one, Area 51. Area 51, again, probably one of the most well-known here on our list. Area 51 is a top-secret aerospace development and testing site located in Nevada. It may look well guarded, but it may not look well guarded, but you better believe if you step foot past the warning signs, you'll have people there on you in seconds. Even photography is prohibited, which is, I guess, why we have such a strange photo of Area 51. It's, you know, that's all we can get. Area 51, this area is said to be installed with hundreds of special sensors, which can detect any movements in the area. So Area 51, very protected, secure site. Here's another one, kind of interesting. The Doomsday Seed Vault. Doomsday Seed Vault. How many of you ever heard of this place? All right. Doomsday Seed Vault. This one, it says, as world leaders and scientists have come to realize that science fiction scenarios can very well become apocalyptic realities, the idea of building a vault to help humankind get back on its feet following a catastrophe was born. So located on a secluded island in the Northern Sea, the Doomsday Seed Vault is home to over 250 million crop seeds and one of the most guarded places on the planet. The vault is not only impossible to reach by man, but it's also protected against a disaster involving the melting of the ice caps. And so, again, in case we got to start all over, right? Here's the seeds. Read the Bible. The next one and the last one on our list here this evening for the most protected and guarded place in the world is Fort Knox. Fort Knox. And so this is the U.S. Bullion Depository, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, most commonly known as Fort Knox due to the nearby military base. It's one of the most famous, highly secured areas on Earth. Currently, it is estimated that it stores not only thousands of tons of gold, but is also It is also the presumed that the bullion depository is home of important historical artifacts, such as the Magna Carta and the U.S. Declaration of Independence. What makes these resources unreachable is the gold vault located underneath the facility, where the access is done via a 22-ton blast-proof door that requires, and this is kind of interesting, to get in past this door, it says it requires the introduction of a secret code combined by 10 different people. So you have 10 different people who have a part of the combination, I guess, to enter in this thing. And so, you know, wonder what happens if one of them dies. I don't know. You know, do we get back in? I'm sure there's, safety precautions against that. Somebody, I don't know, has it. But again, they have to have 10 different people to access to get into this to this place. And so, again, just kind of interesting little facts there on some of the most guarded places, secure places here in the world. But again, if you look back at our passage, again, here in Scripture, the Bible says, again, to keep thy heart. And that word keep means to guard. And that's kind of why I looked that up. You know, I wanted to kind of see what's some of the most guarded places, secure places. But again, here in Scripture, when the Bible says to keep thy heart, that word keep means to guard. So we need to, the Bible's teaching us that we need to guard our heart. If I was to come up to you and ask you to, you know, to keep my phone for me, you know, I'm preaching tonight, I don't want it to go off, and some teenager call me while I'm up here trying to preach, because it happens, I promise you. And so if I ask somebody maybe to keep my phone for me, most of you could probably do a pretty good job with that. There's some of you in here, where's Jose, where'd he go? I don't know where he went. I probably wouldn't ask, because they'll tell him what I find on my phone. There he is, up in the sound booth. So again, some people I could trust, right? Maybe some other of you, I wouldn't want you to keep my phone. But again, if I asked you to keep my phone, again, many of you could be like, yeah, I could do that. You know, I keep your phone. And if I asked you to do that, you probably, again, you wouldn't just leave my phone laying around. You wouldn't leave my phone on the pew for someone to just kind of come by and grab it and take it, and begin playing with it. Why? Because you understand that when I ask you to keep my phone, within that, there's that sense of guarding it as well. He's asked me to keep it, and, you know, no one else should be playing with it. And so you, in essence, you're actually guarding it. And so that's what we see here. Again, keep thy heart. That word keep means to guard. Within that same illustration, though, you think about this. If somebody, again, was to come up to you, however, put a gun to your head and say, give me that phone, if you have any sense of awe, you're going to hand over the phone, right? Again, the phone just, it doesn't mean that much to you. It's not that important to you. And so, again, you'd hand over the phone, like I said, if you have any sense at all. But if someone was to break into your house, think about this. You're going to do a little bit more. Why? Again, because what's in your home does mean something to you. You're not just going to hand everything over. You're not just going to let them walk out the door with your children. You're going to do your best to protect and to guard your family. Why? Again, because it means something to you. It's special to you. And so, again, the Bible, again, teaches us to guard our heart. Again, our heart. That is something that is special to us. It's going to determine who we are, as we'll talk about here tonight. And so we need to guard our heart. And so the Bible, again, here, and so it says, keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence. That phrase there, with all diligence, means above all guarding. So above all your guarding, above everything that you guard, above everything that may be special and dear to you, the Bible says, guard your heart. So keep thy heart with all diligence, above everything that you guard, above everything that you keep there in your life. We need to, again, the Bible says that the most important thing that we guard is our heart. And now we need to understand at the same time, again, this word heart. And so kind of introduction here, understanding what the word heart here means in the Bible as well. The word heart in the Bible means the feelings. It refers to your will. It refers to your intellect, your mind, if you will. And so it's your thought process. It refers, again, to that part of you that makes decisions. And so, again, Above everything that we guard, again, we need to guard our thought process. We must guard those things which come into our lives and affect our hearts. And again, that's why it goes on to say, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, those things which come into our mind, those are those things which we are to guard. Our minds, our heart, our thought processes. Again, this verse tells us that above all guarding, we must guard our heart, guard our minds, our thoughts, our priorities, our desires. The sum total of everything that we allow into our life, again, is what is going to come out in our actions. You are what you are because of what is in your heart. And it's in your heart because you have allowed certain influences into your life. And again, and we're going to see that here in just a moment. And so again, our mind, our heart, is the source of our behavior. Everything that we do flows from our heart, our mind. Again, we do what we do because we are what we are, and the heart determines what we are and therefore what we do. So again, to help understand this even a little bit more, if you want to turn over to Matthew with me, I want to look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 18. And we want to look at what Jesus says here about the heart. Matthew chapter 15, we'll read verses 18 through 20. The Bible says this, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from what? The heart. And they defile the man. For out of what? Again, the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. But again, what is it that defileth a man? And again, what are these things? It's the things which, again, come from the heart. The things which come from the will, the intellect, the thought process. Again, the heart, the mind. Over in Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Maybe you've heard somebody say something that, you know, they shouldn't have said, and they catch themselves, and it's like, oops, you know, I'm sorry, that slipped. Well, according to the Bible, it didn't slip. According to the Bible, it came out because it was in their heart. And again, I understand that maybe you have a new Christian who's just gotten saved recently, and he's had some bad habits, such as maybe using profanity, things like that, and so it slips. It comes out, so to say, but again, why did it come out? Well, because it was in the heart in the first place. And so I think, again, we can safely say that the things we say, the things that we do, our life, again, is directly related and even caused by the things that we put into our heart, by the things that we put into our minds. And again, that's exactly what we find here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Again, why? For out of it are the issues of life. So with that being established, Solomon then tells us what with the rest of the verses here, 24 through 27, how we are to guard our hearts and what we are to guard our hearts from. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Since the heart, again, what we put into our heart is going to determine what kind of person we are, who we are becoming. Then, again, we need to look here at what Solomon says and these different areas that we need to guard our hearts in and what we need to guard them from. And so, number one, if you look there at verse number 24, the Bible says, again, verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. In other words, number one, we need to control what we say and what we hear. We need to control what we say and what we hear. We need to use caution in our conversation. And so again, certainly this verse is talking about, you know, lying. It's talking about gossip, slander, things like that, which again, the Bible has plenty to say about, but it also has reference here at that word forward to a man of maybe of evil word, again, of cursing and swearing. And again, you're here on the Sunday night and you're like, well, Brother Alexander, I'm good there, right? You know, I'm not going around. I'm not using, you know, any type of profanity, things like that. And man, I hope that's the case, you know. But maybe, again, you've picked up on how, you know, it seems like In our day and age today, there's so many slang terms that are being used. And the Lord's name is being taken in vain so much. And it almost seems like it's not bothering Christians anymore. And so again, while I hesitate to even use some of the slang terms, I'm going to give you a couple of them just for the sake of teaching you and helping you to understand. Because again, maybe there's, maybe some of you in here are even using some of these slang terms, not realizing that they are, the Lord's name in vain while using them. And so again, being very cautious with this, but again, understanding, I just want to be a help tonight. And so words, again, such as gosh and golly, those are slang words for God. Again, just look them up, Google them. Gosh, golly, what does it mean? And you'll see there that it is a euphemism for God. That word euphemism, in case you don't know what that means, because I'm not very smart, I'd look it up as well. Euphemism means it's a mild or indirect word of expression, substituted for one considered to be too harsh or blunt. Basically, a euphemism is using a word that doesn't sound as bad as the one that most would consider offensive. However, the word has the same meaning. And so since there is no change in meaning, when we use a euphemism, If you use these words and it's like, oh my, and again, you fill in the blank. I'm not going to continue that phrase there, but you use one of those words again there. In fact, again, you are taking the names Lord in vain. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain is still in the Bible. And that ought to bother us. And so, again, just trying to help you understand that, again, maybe we're not using what we would call swear words and profanity, but there's a lot of slang out there that does take the names Lord in vain and other slang words, again, that are, again, euphemisms for, you know, curse words and things of that nature. And so we must be careful, again, in our words, in the words that we use in our speech. Again, the Bible teaches in Ephesians 4:29, to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so Solomon again is telling us to put away a forward mouth. Again, to don't use this type of language. Don't use phrases like that. Don't use speech that's evil. Don't tell dirty jokes and things like that. Because evil speech, listen, is a sure indicator of an evil heart. Evil speech is a sure indicator of an evil heart. You show me someone that's using bad language, and I'll show you someone that's heart is not right with God. Again, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And so there is, a direct connection between our tongue and our heart. Again, a wrong mouth and a right heart will not occupy the same body. A wrong mouth, a right heart will not occupy the same body. But not only again is the command again not to use such language, but it's also a command again to stay away from anyone who does. And so again, we got to control what we say again, but also control what we hear. So it's a command to stay away from such who would use again that language. And so again, the Bible says again there in verse 24, put away from thee a forward mouth. And perverse lips put far from thee. And so I like what John Gill, a commentator, said. Here he said, do not make use of them thyself, nor keep company with men of such character. In other words, again, whether it be yours or someone else's, put it away from thee. And again, we've got to separate ourselves from this type of that type of language. Why? Because what we hear is affecting our heart. And then it will come out in our lives. As Christians, again, we have to be careful. Again, we don't want to isolate ourselves completely from unbelievers to the point to where we don't have influence over them anymore. But again, we are commanded, as I just said in Scripture, to separate from the world. And we choose, again, who we hang out with. We choose who we are around most often. Again, the Bible says to get away from them. Put them away, put them far from thee. Those perverse lips, put them far from thee. And then I thought about this, you know, when it deals with our language and things like that, you know, most of us in here would never allow somebody into our home who had, you know, a foul mouth, so to say. We wouldn't want that around our children. We wouldn't want that in our home. But yet, how many times do we go home and we turn the TV on? What we are hearing oftentimes through that little tube there in our living room is so foul and so vile. Again, you would never let that person literally come into your living room and use that type of language, but you'd let them use it over a TV set. Again, maybe the reason so many Christians are struggling to stay close to Christ is simply because they're filling their mind with the world's garbage by the things that they hear. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we can't fill our hearts and minds with things that are contrary to the Word of God. Again, through those things which we hear. You know, for a lot of people, it comes in the form of music. Oh, man. Teenagers, they love their music. And you can see our world getting darker and darker and deeper into sin. Why? Because what they are listening to, their music, is affecting their heart. No longer is there a care for God and for that which is holy. Why? Because it affects their heart. And so again, I'm not going to preach a sermon here tonight on music right now. But again, you understand that there's a lot of music out there that even though it may be popular, it certainly is not biblical. It's certainly not godly. Certainly, again, no Christian is going to be able to keep a clean heart by listening to the world's music. Again, put it far from thee, the Bible says. It's going to be hard to stay right with God if I'm filling my heart and mind with that which is contrary to the Word of God. Again, I think a lot of Christians are filling their mind with junk and then wondering why they're having trouble living for God. Again, maybe, just maybe, it's because we're not guarding our hearts. And again, so many times, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But God says, again, keep the heart with all diligence. In other words, above all your guarding, keep your heart. Keep your mind. Guard it. Protect it. The things that get into our mind, are things by the things that we hear. And so since the issues of life, again, come from our heart, come from our mind, we need to control, again, what we say and what we hear. But not only that, but number two, I see here in verse 25 that we need to control what we see. If we're going to guard our heart, we need to control what we see. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, I like what Job 31:1 says. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We need to be like Job and make a covenant with our eyes and determine, I'm going to guard, I'm going to control what I see. You see, a great bit of temptation that we face is brought through the eyes. If the eyes are controlled, you will cut out one third of the temptations in your life. How do I come up with that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. If you want to turn there, if you want to listen, begin 1 John 2:16. The Bible says this, for all that is in the world, all that is in the world, goes on to say this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If I can get rid of that eye problem, I've cut out a third of the temptations. Again, the eyes are the most influential part of our body. Most of our memory is formed through our eyes. Again, how many of you have ever heard that phrase, garbage in, garbage out? You've heard that phrase? I've heard it before, and I didn't necessarily know exactly its connotation, what it went, so I looked it up again in study, and I found out that phrase, and Brother Adam, you probably know this, garbage in, garbage out, it deals actually with computers. How many of you knew that, okay? The computer people, right? I'm not big on computers. I like to use my computer, but again, I didn't know that until I looked it up. Again, what it means, though, is that if you put bad programming into the computer, guess what you're going to get out? Bad programming. Garbage in, garbage out. So why do we treat our minds? Why do we treat our hearts differently? Again, why do we think that we can put ungodly stuff in our heart and in our mind, again, through the things that we are listening to, through the things that we watch and that we see, and then expect good to come out of our life? You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. Again, it just doesn't work that way. I can't fill myself with the things of this world and live a godly life. Whatever we allow into our minds, again, into our hearts, that is going to be what we are. That is going to control our actions. And again, that's why God said to control it, to guard it, to keep it above everything that you guard. And again, with all diligence, we need to guard our heart. Whatever you and I are programming into our minds is ultimately going to come out one way or another. So what are you putting into your heart? Again, your music, TV, internet. What are you spending your time doing? Again, do you spend your time watching TV programs that make fun of godly values and that make fun of sin? Again, that's what most of them do. And again, we've got to be on guard. We've got to control what we see. And then there's technology. Man, technology is a wonderful thing. Most of us probably in here enjoy technology, and we have, you know, our cell phones, and we got computers and iPads and all these different kinds of things, and certainly they have a place, and they can be used for good, but at the same time they can be very dangerous. Again, with technology comes a great risk. Let me say this to the parents in here. Again, those with children, keep your guard up when it comes to technology. Know what's going on in their lives. Know what they have on their cell phones. Parents, let me say this. Your children should not have a passcode that you don't have, that you don't know. There's no reason a teenager, a young person, should have, you know, that was the thumb ID, you know. You shouldn't have to try to guess what their code is to get onto their phone. Why? Because you need to know what's going into their lives. We must be active. Let me say this as well. If you don't know how it works, don't let your children have it. Man, so many things that you can get on this little device. All those little apps. And, I could have gone off on this, but there's so many apps out there that are so deceptive. There's that one that I've seen that it looks like a calculator when you download it, parents. But behind this calculator is this hidden camera to where they can hide their pictures from you. And you look at the phone and you see, oh, a calculator app. But it's really a place to hide pictures. Why do you need that? Well, because you're hiding something. And so listen, if you don't know how it works, don't let them have it. If you're going to let them have it, learn how to use it. Learn how to control it. Learn how to check up on it. Again, by the way, I believe they'll thank you for it. They may hate you right now, but eventually they'll thank you for it. And so again, we've got to be active. Above everything that you guard, guard your heart. You see, those of us who are parents, again, we're not just responsible for guarding and protecting our heart, but we're also responsible for their heart. And I've got to, again, to do everything I can to make sure that Satan's not getting an inroad into their lives. Again, through the things that they're listening to or that they're watching, or through their technology, whatever it may be. Above everything, again, that you guard, guard your heart. What you allow into your heart is going to determine what kind of person you are going to be. What you allow into your children's life and to their heart is going to determine what kind of person they are going to be. So determine that you're going to protect yourselves by not letting anything into your mind and into your family's mind and heart that God is not pleased with. And so we must, number one, again, control what we say, what we hear. Number two, we must control what we see. But lastly, number three here, we must control where we go. Control where we go. If we look here at verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So control where you go. That phrase, ponder the path. Ponder the path. It must be it's a planned walk. Again, the word ponder means to weigh mentally, to choose well. In other words, we don't make rash decisions. I'm thinking it through. We use wisdom when choosing our path. Now, many of you, like me, I'm sure, have made some decisions Again, that you wish that you would have pondered a little bit more, right? Again, you wish you would have thought through it a little bit more before you made that decision. You know, in the Bible, I think of Esau. And there in Genesis chapter 25, again, we read of Esau as he sells his birthright to his brother Jacob. And I'll read that passage for you, Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. It says this, "And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." What happened? A rash decision. You know, I don't really know what age Jacob and Esau were here, but I'm just, how many of you picture them like I do being teenagers? That's what I picture. Why? Well, here comes Esau in from the field. The Bible says he's faint, okay? I looked up what the word faint means, okay? The word faint means that he's weary or thirsty. What does Esau say, though? "I'm going to die. I'm so hungry." Just like a teenager, right? "Feed me before I die." Esau, again, really? A little exaggerated there, don't you think? And so again, he comes in. He's thirsty. He's hungry. He's tired. And in a moment of rash decision, rather than pondering his path, really thinking about this, he sells his birthright to his brother Jacob. Again, I've often wondered, why didn't you just like, you know, go find mama, you know? "Mama, I'm thirsty." Everybody knows you don't ask your siblings for something you really want, right? Don't go to your brother or your sister, "Hey, can you get me a glass of water?" Sure. They're not going to get you what you want, you know? But what was he thinking? I don't know. Go to mom. You know, she loves you. Go to daddy. You were the favorite son of dad, right? But he goes to Jacob, and in rash decision, again, sells his birthright. And so again, you and I, again, we've been there. Again, maybe not quite like that, but we've made some decisions where we've thought, man, I wish I would have thought about that a little bit more. Wish I would have planned it out just a bit more. Again, ponder the path. It's a planned walk. It says there, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. So I see here it's not just a planned walk, but it's also a predetermined walk. The ways are established, the Bible says. In other words, it's been predetermined that there are some things I'm going to do and there's some things I'm not going to do. I've predetermined that there are some places that I'm going to go, there's some places I'm not going to go. Why? Because where I go is going to affect my heart. And out of the issues of the heart, again, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart come the issues of life. The Bible goes on there in verse 27, it says, "Turn not to thy right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let me say this, be careful where you go, be careful who you go with. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You see, your friends, you are becoming like the people that you hang out with. You are becoming like the people you hang out with. Again, your friends will determine your future. Oftentimes you hear a phrase like that and you think, well, that's for the young people. Actually, it's for all of us in here, adults alike. Again, your friends will determine your future. You are becoming like the people you hang out with. Again, the people you hang out with, they affect your life. They have influence on you. Again, whether we realize it or not, the decisions that we are making at this time or the lack of decisions are setting us on track for the rest of our lives. And so we must remove thy foot from evil. Be careful of who you associate with. Control where you go. Years from now, many people are going to say, man, how did I get here? Why are these things happening to me? And very likely, again, it will be the result of the decisions that they are making at this time. And so we must guard our heart. And so Solomon tells us here again in verses 24 through 27 how we are to guard our heart. Again, above everything that we guard, above everything that we protect in our life, we must guard our heart. Protect what you're putting into your heart, into your mind. Again, by what you see, what you say, the things you hear, the people that you hang out with. We've got to guard our heart. Again, why? Because the things that we put into our hearts is going to determine what kind of person we are going to be. So let me ask you, according to the things that you are allowing into your heart right now, what kind of person are you becoming? By the things that you are allowing into your heart right now, by what you say, what you hear, by what you see and where you go, what kind of person are you becoming? Is it the kind of person that's pleasing to God, or is there maybe just a little bit of, again, too much worldliness beginning to creep into your life? Again, keep thy heart. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How are you doing? Is there an area where you need to put maybe a wall up? Is there somewhere, again, where you need to just protect a little bit more? What I see, what I hear. Is there an area, again, that Satan maybe, he has a foot in the door and he's beginning to try to creep in? If we're going to guard our heart, again, we've got to control what we say in here, control what we see, and control where we go. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that through this message tonight, that again, that you would use it to help us to see, again, maybe there is an area in our life that I certainly do. I need to do better at guarding. Above all that we guard, we need to guard our heart by those things that, again, we hear, by the things we see, the places we're going. I pray you would help us to examine our hearts here tonight and make a decision for you that I am going by God's grace and with your help, God. Protect these things. Protect my children. Do a better job. And I ask and I pray this in Jesus' name.